Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm saying.
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy Earth Day, y'all.
Happy Earth Day.
It feels so kind of fun and exciting. Why does it feel so special this year? Just because it's something to be happy about?
Anything to have a holiday.
I just think, like, universally, we all agree that we like the Earth. Like, if anyone's out there is like, fuck the planet, like, literally, like, no one's like that.
Even the people who are like that, they don't say that. Like, they're not going to say. They still say, like, even Trump would be like, we got to have the cleanest air. We got to have the cleanest water.
We're going to have the flattest earth.
Yeah, we're going to have the flattest earth, cleanest air, cleanest water, Trump water.
Trump water. I think it's also because this was 420 week. So it's just a series of excellent, jubilant holidays. Brian and Elise, what I thought this would be a fun question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Brian, we'll start with you. What's your favorite thing about the earth?
You know, my favorite thing is animals, I have
That's
to say.
Mine. Yeah.
You know, like, wow. I just could sit, I could look out the window and just watch animals do their thing. And I'm like, wow.
A fauna fan.
Yeah. A fauna fan? A what?
There's flora and there's fauna. And you're a fan of fauna.
Like a New Zodiac
fauna fan.
Like flora or fauna.
That's so funny. That's a good one. Are you flora? Are you fauna?
That's going to be the new rivalry, like the plant mom versus cat mom versus
yes,
versus
100%. Flora or fauna?
Yeah.
Elise, what's your favorite thing about the earth?
Wow, that's a great question. I love both the flora and the fauna, but I think that I am going to say her majestic waters.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
I love her majestic waters. Fresh, salt, flowing, still.
Yeah, I saw a field piece on MSNBC today where they're turning LA's wastewater into drinkable water. They're recycling.
Excellent.
They're figuring out a way to recycle their water. So there are solutions.
That's actually great.
We really need a lot of water and we need to be open. I love how you said still water. Like, what's your favorite thing about the earth? I don't know. I love a bottle of water.
Well, you know, like a pond.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. A lagoon.
I find it very humbling because I'm like, my favorite thing is the oceans too. Like they're magical. I can't stop thinking about them. I'm also terrified of them. I have dreams of being stranded in the ocean like twice a month.
Ocean, very scary. A deep ocean. Terrifying.
Okay, terrifying. What's more terrifying? Deep ocean or outer space?
Oof.
Okay, that's tough for me because I'm very scared of outer space.
Both of those things terrify me. I would say those are the most terrifying things.
Some anxiety, I think. I spent all 40 minutes thinking about the scariest things.
It's
and
true.
Then
whenever
it's
someone
explode.
Asks me what I'm afraid of, I always say oceans. And like, because tides and the pressure, like you could just be chilling and all of a sudden an undertow will just like whip you out and you're like 90 feet out. I grew up by the shore. So I know it.
And those crazy animals down there that make their own light and have crazy teeth and stuff. See, I don't like that. But my thing about space is I don't like what you have to do to get there.
Exactly. Right.
I think that would be very scary. And I've at least been in the ocean before. Whereas space, fully unknown.
I have yet to experience it.
No,
there is
I have
a brief moment, I imagine, when you're like when you're about to be lost at sea, where you're like, shit, I can maybe swim back. If you're just catapulted into space, like, it's over. If you are not with a vessel or a vehicle, there is no absolutely.
No, I can't even watch the trailer for Gravity. No, absolutely not.
I'm really
the concept
upset right
is
now.
The scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I don't love a space movie.
No,
they're tricky. That was a really fun exercise. I encourage everybody to think about their favorite things about the Earth, watch a terrifying documentary, and then chase it with like a Planet Earth with your 420 leftovers.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that.
Of course, pick up. We have some super exciting new merch. This is like super designed. We'd love to put slogans on stuff, but this has like a lot of cool shit. So we have a sweatshirt. It says help. And it has, if you've seen the new like Betches branding, we have this cute little like emoji with like fuck across. It doesn't say fuck on the mouth, but it's like it suggests curse words that we made that in Earth. And it just says help. It's very cute. It's like a garment I want to wear out and about. We have another mug. I always talk about how like there's so much wine. The whole of Instagram is like, I love wine and coffee. Well, then you're an environmentalist because if we don't save the Earth, we're not going to have wine and we're not going to have coffee. So we put that on a mug too. And we have a hat that says the globe is warming. Check it out. They will be available probably long-term, but for all month, if you buy it for any time during the rest of Earth Month, 10% will go to an organization that's called Earth Justice. This is basically just a company of lawyers that fight for the Earth. And I love that. I just want to support people that are
Aaron
getting
Brockovich,
mad.
Baby. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So they're taking on all sorts of fights to keep more damage from being done and get some justice for the people that have already been impacted. So go to betches.co/supshop and you will find all the merch. We'll post all the pictures later. We also have, I showed you guys this morning, a new crew that says we did it, Joe, that I am thrilled
very
to
cool.
put on to. Very, we tried to make this, it's very thematic, like very, they're very, they're spring textures. We're a real e-commerce site, y'all. We think about this.
Yes.
Amanda, I think you may have just tapped into something on radicalizing the wine moms to become environmentalists. When you said that, I was like, oh, you're right.
And coffee. People shape their entire personalities around wine and coffee. So donate some money to Greenpeace.
Right? What are you going to do? What are
buy
you
a water
tweet?
Bottle. Right. What are you going to do? How are you going to deal with your kids? How are you going to get up in the morning?
Yeah. What are your magnets going to say if we don't have any wine? Yeah.
How are you going to go to bed at night? And how are you going to wake up in the morning?
That was too real. Exactly. So obviously go get this mug and buy it for somebody who doesn't. Oh, this would be a perfect kind of like trolley gift for somebody for Mother's Day. If your mom is like the wine mom, coffee mom, I feel like our listeners' moms are probably environmentalists. Like that feels like the vibe of our listeners, but we all have that aunt that like hates recycling. So send her one of these. Maybe we should do one that's a riff on cats. I feel like Elise was like, excuse me.
In what
there's
way?
A cat person present.
Yeah. I love cats.
There are a lot of cats. It would take a real crisis to have to eliminate all of the world's cats. But
that would be true. And they're pretty resourceful.
They're pretty fucking resourceful.
They're not going to go down without a fight. Cats.
Yeah, that's why we have a whole group, a category of them that are feral cats.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they can be feral.
Exactly. But all right. 12 minutes in, let's get into the news. So President Biden is holding a climate summit today and tomorrow. He's invited 40 nations for this fun Zoom call. It's the biggest summit of this kind since the Paris Climate Agreement was signed in 2015, which seems like ages ago, but it was really like just before Trump was elected and took us out of that. So far today, Biden is committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. by half by 2030. I don't know why whenever I hear these headlines, I'm like, did we not already promise that? But it's always like, get rid of everything by 2050.
Did we promise it and take it back?
Probably. We're recommitting.
I think we might have promised that at one
this
point.
This must be a new goal.
Maybe it was like a campaign promise and now it's like a I'm here promise. I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I imagine it's like when there's like a sale at like Ann Taylor Loft, but it's like, it's always 40% off, but like they have to come up with a new way to frame it. So today Biden has committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions in the US by half by 2030, which by half by 2030, 2030 is in 9 years. By half, that's a huge task.
Yeah.
We got to do it. And Canada and Japan vowed pretty similar measures, I think slightly less. China and in India, they largely recommitted to existing goals. China, obviously, another huge emitter, as well as India, which is more of an emerging economy. So they were like, we're working on it. We're doing our best. The United States contributes about 15% of the world's overall emissions, even though we make up, what is it, it's 5% of the world's population. So we have a big role to play. So obviously need to be leaders on this. Also this week, our favorite members of Congress, two of my faves at least, AOC mm-hmm. and Ed Markey, were in agreement. Yeah.
We
fucking hate Ed Markey.
Yeah, no, I'm very
just for Joe Kennedy.
Yeah.
So Ed Markey and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez this week, they reintroduced the Green New Deal. This is 2 years after they originally unveiled it, when it was like super radical, did not have a ton of co-sponsors. Now it has 100 co-sponsors. It's funny, all across Twitter, some of the original co-sponsors are like, I've been there from the beginning. I was a co-sponsor when it wasn't even popular and when Trump was cursing at me on Twitter. But the original proposal set an objective of the country taking on a leading role in helping the planet reach net zero emissions by the year 2050. I would sort of summarize the Green New Deal as we sort of conceptualize the New Deal, which it's a huge program that the country needs to reorient our economy in two ways. Number one, towards sustainable energy. And number two, obviously shifts in energy will result in some industries losing lots of jobs, but that's fine because we need a lot of people to do the jobs to help us build a greener economy. So previously, Republicans have blocked a vote on this legislation. Now that Democrats control the Senate, they should have a better shot. But of course, we're still staring down the filibuster on everything we want to do. Progressives are also beefing up the Green New Deal a little bit. They're sort of making like a Biden version. They seem to be being a little bit more ambitious to help pull him over, since there is a chance to get some of these things done. One of those includes a Civilian Climate Corps Act, which focuses on what I said before, just doing the job of figuring out what these new jobs and industries are going to be, making sure people know about them, making sure they have access to training and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, now's the time. It seems like Biden... In general, it seems like Biden and the Democrats realize that we have a pretty small window potentially to pass some transformative legislation. So
mm-hmm. like 2 years,
like 2 years probably. And a lot needs to be done. I don't know. I get so like excited about this legislation, and then every time right. we come up on the filibuster conversation, it's so upsetting because it doesn't make sense that yeah. we can't pass anything because of this.
It seems like they are figuring out ways to pass things through budget committee yeah. now. Like there's like now there's the they're going to do that with the infrastructure bill.
Yeah, they have like two more chances to do that, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, but maybe this is something
sorry,
that,
I was
maybe there's something they could do with it.
Get rid of the filibuster!
I'm just like so upset. But then Joe Manchin will come out and be like, I don't think that we should do budget too many times.
Right. Just because. He hates the planet. He hates the oceans. He hates the flora. He hates the fauna. You know,
he hates the flora and the fauna.
You know how I know? Because he lives on a houseboat. He doesn't even want to be on the land.
It's sad because West Virginia has a lot of beautiful flora and fauna.
Gorgeous
flora yes. and fauna. That will be flora and mountain fauna.
And obviously mm-hmm. Joe Manchin, there is the coal factor where he is a bit sensitive to that industry there, even though a lot of this legislation is like very focused on ensuring that people who would face job loss have alternatives.
Honestly, yeah. it's like, and I think people would rather like not work with coal. Like if they have the option to not work with coal, I think that they may be happy about it. I don't know.
That's such yeah. a good point. Everybody's just like, I'm so desperate to like inhale this deadly toxic substance all day. It's like, it's just the job in my town.
One of the most dangerous jobs for like hundreds yeah. of years now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Centuries.
Most of the jobs that have been dangerous for centuries, we made sure to get the fuck rid of because they were so dangerous. We stopped letting people get hands cut off to make garments. I mean, I'm right. sure that still happens, but
it's also just not sustainable, like economically sustainable anymore either. So just all around
right.
fuck
China today did say we're going to work on coal. We're going to focus on that and try to phase that out by half by 2025. So that's the thing. There is no future for that. So we're just delaying the inevitable and hurting everybody.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. And like I told you guys before, I got my wedding bands on Etsy. I was able to meet with a creative, independent artist. They took my vision into reality, and now my wife and I have custom wedding bands that we absolutely love. A gifting moment is always just around the corner, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you. Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now. I'm sure you've swiped past lots of custom beauty brands over the years. Customize this and personalize that, all promising to fix my hair and skin insecurities. It's easy to be skeptical, but when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. Your formula literally could not exist without you. Since I started using Pros, I've noticed consistently healthy hair, even with all I put it through with heat tools and hairsprays to get this pompadour sky high. It smells great, looks fancy on the shelf, and it has my name right on it. Each and every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique brand of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. Pros covers everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. Next, they'll recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after I placed my order. Nothing is pre-mixed. Nothing is off the shelf. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, Pros proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering our listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. They're giving you 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/feverdream. That's PROSE.com/feverdream for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/feverdream.
Somebody who has not read the Green New Deal yet is Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. So weeks after challenging AOC Representative Ocasio-Cortez to a debate over the legislation, Marjorie Taylor Greene needlessly revealed that she has yet to read it. And that's significant. It's significant in a lot of ways. It's fun to roast members, lawmakers, when they don't do their job. But the special thing about this is that the legislation is 14 pages. It is 14 pages. And if you look at how a bill is written
that's
online.
Double spaced. What's going on with the, what's the font situation? How's it broken up? Dense text can be tough.
Right. Is the best part upvoted on 8chan or do I have to like dig through?
She's waiting for the audiobook.
She's waiting for the audiobook. Yeah, exactly. So she tweeted a picture of her on the House floor, basically just approaching AOC in like a weirdly threatening manner. And she included the copy, "I'm glad I ran into you today to plan our debate about the
Queen." They work together, by the way. They're
wow.
Colleagues. Well, well, well. Who's at work today? We work together. Okay.
That is the face. That is AOC's face in it. It's just like, what, ma'am? I just work here. This is Congress.
Also, you kind of tried, like, you kind of like almost had me killed a few months ago. Like,
yes. She does have the face of like, wow, my weird coworker is approaching me to ask me a question. Like, this sucks. How quickly can I get out of this conversation?
But also just completely like, it really does look like she went up to her and said, "We'll do this at, like I said, when I can finish reading 14 pages." Okay, take your time, ma'am. Whatever you need to read 14 pages. Also, it's funny because she has no committee assignments. She got stripped of her committee assignments. What else is she doing? She's got time.
She has nothing else to do except like kind of approach her coworkers and be like, "Ah," and then like take a picture of them and post it. Like,
it's she crazy. Was like, "Hey, so I'm gonna go run up to AOC and try to make her look a little startled. Will you make sure to get a picture?"
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. She obviously had someone in her staff be like, "I'm going to do it." Right. It's like middle school. Like, "I'm going to go up to him right now." And like, she went over and then went back to her friends and was like, "I did it. I talked to her. Oh my God."
But I mean, this brings me to what I wanted to talk about today, what Elise and I have talked a bit about, which is that, like, clearly she is stage directing her social media and her public presence. I have struggled with how much coverage to give her because, I mean, we all remember and think about all the time how Trump was regarded as like an entertaining part of the presidential race. And it was not taking him seriously enough and his appeal seriously enough that maybe sort of blinded us to hit the real possibility of what might happen. So part of me wants to ignore her because the more attention she gets, I think the net effect is that she gets more of the attention she wants. What do you guys think? Do we not, is there a certain bar, is there a certain standard that we should have before we talk about her? Is it okay if it's funny? Because to me, this has no negative impact because she's not spewing in this particular time. She's not, like, I'm not talking about a tweet where she included lies and misinformation and we're roasting it. Yeah. That's when I think it's bad because then people, well, I'm answering my own question, but that's when I think it's bad because that's when it can, that's when more people just get their eyes on false information rather than just information that confirms what idiots these people are. But I don't know. I struggle with it.
I think it's important to, because she's dangerous. You know, if we completely ignore her, we're just ignoring a dangerous person, which is not a smart thing to do. But I think, like you said, just like maybe keeping it at arm's length, you know, just being aware of what she's doing and not like feeding into it, like the Trump frenzy, you know, because who knows what she could, who knows what the fuck is going to happen in like 2 to the next 6 years of her political career, you know, like, which is frightening to think about. But, you know, there's that, they're trying to make that Anglo-Saxon party or whatever. Like, we have to like know what they're up to. It's like, like, you can't just like put blinders on. We have to know what.
Yeah, you don't just ignore when somebody says they're gonna start. And you know what? They said, fine, we won't do it because people got so mad.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And it, for better or for worse, she is a member of Congress. Like, she actually is an elected official who is running around behaving this way. And so it's a it's a really delicate balance. I remember I listened to, there's a really good episode of this podcast You're Wrong about like how Fox News indoctrinates people.
God,
and just that it was like a really good episode. And one of the things they talked about is that people who see false information, even if it's framed as false, when they see it, like a headline that's like Marjorie Taylor Greene falsely claims that there are lasers in space or whatever, like, the more they see it, it still reinforces the belief as true, even though they're reading it as false. Like, you're seeing it so many times that it's opening up the door in your mind of like, well, are there lasers in space?
Exactly.
Or like, what's this lady talking about? I keep seeing this thing about lasers in space. Like, what's happening? So it is really, like you said, Amanda, when we're talking about her beliefs, it's really important to like frame them and contextualize them properly and like put them out in a responsible way, because you can reinforce them just by amplifying them.
Yeah, that stuck with me too, I guess. And I think that's why it's so important then. Like, those headlines shouldn't just say Margaret Taylor Greene says. The headline has to center the false part if you're going to have it at all. Because it's like, we have to monitor these people because they're dangerous. But it really just, it always comes back to like local news. And just as long as you have journalists and people in the news that are familiar with what they're doing and are watching it, even if it's not becoming a national headline, that way that like somebody's watching them when something intense does happen. Or when, I mean, yeah, like they almost started this America First caucus. Had we not noticed that or amplified it, they maybe could have gone forward with it. But yeah, that's the tricky part. That really, the other fascinating part of that podcast to me, Elise, was how they said that everybody talks about how Fox News, it's like, it's all old people. But you know who watches MSNBC? It's also all old people.
Yeah. It's literally just old people.
Just old people and Sammy watch it, network news, and Brian.
Yeah, Sammy, so that she can tell the young people what's happening.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a good balance. It's like, we can't ignore it, but we have to be so mindful, like more mindful than is really fair about how we present it and who's going to read it. And it also just like amplifies, I don't know, sometimes I'll see these people on Twitter who clearly want to be the next Marjorie Taylor Greene, and people do rage react to them. And it's like, you're doing exactly what they want, is making them known, making them a known troll. And then the people that like to vote for trolls are going to love them.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking about like a small house race in Georgia that maybe doesn't get a ton of national attention. Someone who has a big Twitter following just because they are a horrible troll, that actually could make their election, because exactly. name recognition is often a huge factor. If they can mobilize people to give them money or whatever, like it's not, it's not that hard to win a seat in the House if you choose the right place and do the right weird finagling. So it is important to keep an eye on, like, to not allow these trolls to like grow an army behind them that could help them do a way more damage.
Totally.
So for the rest of the show, we're going to play a fun game of Would You Rather for Earth Great. Day. I'm excited for this. We put this on Instagram, but I realized it would be fun to do IRL. Let's go through. So today, as we mentioned, is the climate summit with President Biden. Okay, so you're at the climate summit. Somebody's being annoying. Probably Boris Johnson is like taking up all the air on the Zoom. You want to like send a snarky side chat to somebody. Are you sending it to Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany or Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada?
I know right away that I'm going Angela.
Totally.
Yeah. I feel like she would talk shit. And I feel like Justin Trudeau would be like, oh, really? I think he's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck off, dude.
I know. Just play along, man.
I'm trying to bond with you and you're gonna pull that on me. Oh, really? I like him. Yeah,
and she has amazing side eye, so I'm sure that she has some like really good thoughts, and she's very smart, so I'm sure she has some clever comebacks.
But it's her last year in office, so she doesn't give a fuck.
Exactly. I feel like Angela Merkel, she'd be like, you don't know the half of it, and then come with like the real tea. Like she would tell you something crazy about Boris Johnson.
Or Boris Johnson. Yeah.
Well, she's been here for a long time, so she knows. She has some stories.
I can't talk enough about Angela Merkel. She has literally like held the world together for like 10 years. She's not perfect, but
Justin Trudeau would be like, I'm actually on a 30-day gossiping cleanse. Like, get the fuck out of here.
My last fact about Angela Merkel that I'll mention today is that there are so many clips of her. She just will go into the German soccer team's like male only locker room. Like when they win, she'll just go the fuck in, and like, they're all like half naked. Like she said, she was like, oh yeah, I once saw one of them naked, and she'll give them all hugs, shirtless hugs. And she just, you just know, like her face, like she loves it.
Jesus. Well, she's all right, Angela.
I'm already working on a package for her retirement. You guys, you have no idea. Her best locker room thirsty moments. Definitely going to side chat on America. I'm glad we're in agreement. Second, would you rather live in a house on stilts to avoid sea level rise anywhere? I guess let's say it's like in Miami or Florida.
Okay.
Or a micro studio in New York City without AC during a heat wave.
Oh, definitely on a house in stilts.
That doesn't sound bad. I mean,
I'm currently in a house on stilts, to be honest.
Yeah, my parents are building a house on stilts, so my hope is that it's good.
Is that why? For climate reasons?
Yeah. Because it's in like the Florida Keys, and
I live like on Long Island part time, and all of the houses that are like built here now have to be elevated.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
To a certain level. So any like, and some houses are getting like picked up. They're like rising them even bigger.
I thought it was so fascinating. And I want to do another show on this. What Millie told us in a recent episode about how the sort of like real estate trends have inverted in Florida with climate change. Cause like before, all the wealthy people wanted to be on the coast. So those areas were prioritized, and then the more inner part was just sort of neglected. And now people want to be farther from the coast because of sea level rise. And it's just the dynamic is changing, but it's just so transparent.
Miami is like one of the first to go.
Totally. Oh yeah.
Like, whenever they show those projections, it's like, bam, Miami. You're like, oh shit.
Ugh. I know. When I first saw the headline that it was like Scott Disick thinking about moving to Miami with Amelia Gray, I was like, do they even know she's going to be like 30 when Miami is underwater?
Yeah. So true. So true. She'll have her whole life ahead of her.
Yeah. And the reason the reason I ask is that due to the climate crisis, sea levels are expected to rise 1 to 8 feet by 2100.
Is that how you'll say that year? I mean, 1 to 8 feet is quite a range there.
Yeah, I'm not going to be involved in saying that year, so they can say it however they.
Right. So it's definitely going to, it's coming. This is something, you know, these, when we're talking about Green New Deal stuff, it's just so wild that we pretend there's no urgency. When we talked about, you know, COVID, and we all knew, like, within, like, in March or early April, we had that big, that first COVID bill passed. It's like, we don't have time. Like, this is happening. This is happening. Like,
yeah,
I am still deciding whether I think it's appropriate to procreate. Like, I'm not sure. This is happening very soon. And I don't know. I keep thinking about with this pandemic, I'm like, get used to it. Not pandemics, but just everything feeling chaotic and unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if we're starting to experience, like, insane weather events all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's global, like, warming.
Like, Texas just froze over. Hell, literally hell froze over.
It's crazy. It's, I mean, yeah, I think about it all the time because
no
my
offense
parents
to our Texas fans. That was a joke.
I they say it. Too.
Texas is lovely.
Nobody shits on Texas more than our Texas fans.
But I do want to say that I've really enjoyed my time there.
Yes. Elise, this is worried. You know who's going to come for you today, Elise? Texas Turkey.
Yes. Yeah, because I had to cover Biden.
We didn't cover Israel today, did we?
No, great. No. That's always the trifecta.
Yeah.
So returning to houseboats, because Joe Manchin lives in a houseboat, would you rather take a non-traditional form of transportation to work with Joe Manchin on his houseboat or with Secretary Pete, who has often been seen riding a bike to work? It's not even a question.
So am I on the back of Pete's bike?
Let's make that to make Pete, because I feel like this is too easy in if you're both riding bikes together. So yeah, let's say that Pete is responsible for your life on the bike.
I mean, that made my decision easier. I would much rather ride on a bike with Pete Buttigieg.
See, I'm gonna say something controversial. I'll put up with a lot of shit if somebody has a boat. I love to be on a boat. I'd find something to talk with Joe Manchin about for like the 20 minutes or whatever.
No, you know what we're going to do is like, we got to sink the boat somehow. You got to be like, Joe, if there were just 50 pounds instead of 60, we would have survived.
We would have. Yeah, I'll try to, you know what? I'll use my time on the seas with Joe Manchin to try to get in his head or
that's also when you're stoned.
Exactly. Mm. Because I feel like once you're on a boat, like no one's more relaxed than when they're on a boat. I pass him.
Maybe that's why he's so chill. I'm not chill on a boat. Are you, Brian?
See, I am chill on a boat. I love to be on a boat.
As long as I'm drinking on a boat.
If I can see the coastline, it's okay. But as soon as I'm like, I can't see the coastline, I'm like, get me the fuck out of here.
I would never go on a cruise.
No, I have no interest in that. But I would go on, I like a short boat ride and I do like to spend some time on the water. So I think that I would pick Joe Manchin and I would use our time on the boat to try to push him left.
Love it.
There you go.
And if not, then you just leave him out at sea.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, maybe, oh my God, Joe Manchin left me his boat. Weird. That's so crazy.
You start like a boat bar and that would be the legend behind
it. Yeah, exactly. I started sailing around on Joe Manchin's.
Incredible. But your secret is that you killed Joe Manchin. That sounds like a great like Dexter spinoff type thing.
Just so that if the FBI is listening, I have no intention of pushing Joe Manchin off of a houseboat or off of anything ever. I would not do that to anyone for any reason. Okay.
Okay. So our next one is get arrested with Jane Fonda, who notoriously got arrested a million times. Recently protesting for the climate, or go to an eco pool party with Ella Emhoff. And that is relevant because she makes these like knitted bikinis.
I feel like both of these things could happen for me. I feel like I could see myself. I feel like I, especially like if I had not known who Ella Emhoff was, I probably could have befriended her when we out at some party in Brooklyn and she's like, hey, do you want to come to an eco pool party with me tomorrow? I'm like, sure. And I could see myself getting arrested with Jane Fonda. But I think I would rather go to the pool party.
That sounds a little chiller. Well, yeah, because that's the thing. It's like the only reason it's fine that Jane Fonda gets arrested is because she's Jane Fonda.
Yeah, yes. I am a Jane stan and I feel that she would use her powerful aura to protect me. So I think that I would get arrested with Jane. I feel like going to an eco pool party with Ella Emhoff is too close to my actual life.
Yeah.
I'm not really like getting a new experience from that. So,
right. You were both like, you mean again?
Yeah.
She lives in New York, actually.
Yeah,
I think she lives in Bushwick.
Yeah.
She lives in Bushwick. She looks like Bushwick.
That's probably why I think she lives in Bushwick. Just exactly. Looking at her.
Yeah, I think she's dating like somebody that like works for GQ. I don't know where I read this. But
yeah, it's too,
Ella,
it's
if you're listening,
close.
Oh my God. I actually feel like this could happen for us by like September. Ella, if you're listening, eco pool party, Betches Up event. Let's make it happen. We'll sell your shit.
You can go to the cause of your choice.
Yeah, we'll raise money for Democrats. If that's your cause, whatever you would like. Next is Borat. So okay. Are we going to carpool with Borat or have your vegan meal judged by Gordon Ramsay?
I think I'd rather have Gordon Ramsay judge my vegan meal because I'd probably hate it as much as he would, you know? And I can't deal with that Borat energy. I'm not like,
no, me neither.
I can't play along. I'm not that fun.
Yeah. I can't even really watch Borat. I can't sit with him in the car.
See, I do. I love Borat. And so I think I will again defer and I will. No, I think I actually like cooking. So if Gordon Ramsay judged my meal and he was mean to me, I would actually be hurt by that. But Borat's antics can't hurt me. I'm not Rudy Giuliani. I know Borat.
Goodness
when I
gracious.
See Borat.
Yeah.
Borat's not going to get me. So
Right. We haven't like clarified why you have to carpool with Borat. Like why that was the only, I guess Joe Manchin, there was no room on the boat. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski were there. So.
Yeah. Well, and I love Tutar as well. Right. I loved Borat too. And so I did love Tutar and, yeah, so that's I just feel like I'm too vulnerable to Gordon Ramsay's critiques, whereas I don't feel vulnerable to Borat at all.
Yeah. On a related note, have we all I know I've definitely tried to eat. I think actually in the past year I've like made the most dramatic shift to eating not almost entirely plant-based, but I would say like 75%.
That's so funny you say that because I just got a vegan cookbook because I just watched Conspiracy, like everyone C-spiracy? Else. Or C-spiracy,
which
right.
needed to be called Conspiracy.
Called Conspiracy with, that's what, John Gondelman tweeted that and it actually incepted me so much that I think it's called Conspiracy now.
Do you think no one thought of that or do you think they just couldn't get the title?
I
think that they were too obsessed with linking it to Cowspiracy, his previous movie. And so they were like, well, it's really important that we link it and call it C-spiracy. Or
interesting.
I don't think it was as important to link it to Cowspiracy. I also think maybe Cowspiracy is a dumb name.
Yeah. Conspiracow.
Yeah. It just sort of sounds like, as I was Googling stats today and they were winning SEO on everything I was Googling, I just didn't trust them because I was like, anything with Spiracy in the name, it's like, you're not a verified news outlet.
Mm. Yeah, it's, well, Cowspiracy is a very good documentary as well. I just feel like that feels like a first draft pun to me. Like, I don't know. But yeah, so C-spiracy I watched, and now Danny and I are going to do vegan Monday Wednesdays and then try to cut back and see what we do. Because I got sad when I saw them killing all of the whales.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to watch that.
I'm not going to watch that either.
I've also seen some critique that it's not totally fair or correct in how it presents like the history of Japanese fishing practices. And there's like some stuff there that's not... That doesn't include all of the context, but the thing that I put this in here and I'll get to it now that it's like when people are mad at each other about eating a burger or yelling at people on Instagram about using a straw, you really need to remember that 100 companies have been the source of more than 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. And the world's wealthiest 1% produce more than double the carbon of the poorest 50%. Most of like the most intense scientifically based environmentalists that I've heard on podcasts and stuff, they're all like, yeah, please do what you can. That's amazing and promote it. But like, don't get depressed because you forgot a bag when you went grocery shopping. Like, it's okay. We need to put pressure on the people who actually play a role.
100%. And I think it is important for us to recognize that this like shift of responsibility for our carbon footprint and all of that stuff and for emissions and greenhouse gases onto the individual was like an actual tactic used by these industries to try to get the heat off themselves. So yeah, I try to reduce, reuse, recycle. I bring my compost over to my urban garden, whatever, but wow. The real pressure, I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. That's a big step. That's everyone, my next
just
step.
So that people know, Brian and Amanda are standing, they're applauding.
We are, yeah.
Our producer, Jorge, he's turned his camera on. He's crying.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously I don't say that to say, like, I know I'm going to get some DMs now. Like, you should never discourage people from doing the most. Like, I think we should obviously all try to eat vegan for ethical reasons, too. Pigs are really smart. So I know people are trying and do their best. I always forget, Brian, because you're gluten-free, that I'm like, Brian's definitely vegan. And then I mentioned the vegan meal thing, and you're like, absolutely not.
Yeah. I feel like I could have a better diet if I could not eat gluten. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You mean if you, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you feel like you could eat less meat if you could eat gluten.
I could eat less meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't fill up on bread.
No.
Yeah. You can't. Bowl of pasta. You can't do that.
A vegan bowl of pasta. Yeah. Forget about it.
Yikes.
All right. We're going to do a couple more would you rathers before we wrap up because we're having fun. So this one I feel like has a lot of fodder. Would you rather work in an office full of mirrors or eat meat grown from a lab every day until you die? While you think, I'm going to tell you why I'm asking you that question. There are a lot of we've heard of all the typical solutions to addressing climate change, like eat less meat, consume less overall, change your transportation. As we just mentioned, the biggest change is going to come from legislation changing how these companies function. But there are some other really novel ideas. Apparently, one is that we can cover the planet with reflective films to bounce sunlight back into space. We can also fill space with small mirrors and lenses, which sounds like a job for the three of us.
Yeah.
Go out there and put some mirrors in. I'll go in space if I can just look at myself the whole time.
I'm just confused because is that easier than reducing emissions? I'm just confused by why.
I would not think so. I would not.
Covering the entire Earth in mirrors?
Right. You have to really, really love your Hummer.
Yeah. That seems really hard.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what it takes to cover the Earth in mirrors. So.
Would you rather work in an office all day looking at yourself in many mirrors or every day eat meat grown from a lab?
I would rather eat meat from a lab, I think. I would be picking my face way too much.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I would be very distracted.
And I'm also beautiful. So I would be like, ooh, look at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you'd rather distracted. Do that.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I just wouldn't get anything done. It wouldn't be practical.
I would just be scaring myself constantly. I'd be like, oh God, where'd you come from?
I've heard the lab meat is good.
Yeah, the lab meat seems
it's good
fine.
Too.
Yeah, I'm
very curious to try it. This one our intern Izzy came up with, so maybe she's just deeply opposed to the fake meat.
Well,
for
maybe
some
she's
reason.
Tried it and it's nasty, so I can't say.
Yeah.
But I've never had it.
I have to say, Beyond Meat, like the brand Beyond Meat, very
good.
Delicious. They have sausages, bratwursts, burgers.
Yeah. Beyond Burgers are good. All the Impossible Burger is good.
It's also just I don't like cooking meat, so it's easy for me to be vegan. I don't trust myself with meat. I find meat a little bit weird, even though I eat it. Like, I'm a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge hypocrite. But I've been able to successfully transfer my house over to a completely, if we're doing a ground meat situation for anything, it's always vegan, except for meatballs. I don't think you can make meatballs. I don't want to hear that you can make vegan meatballs.
Don't write in. Yeah. Do not tell Amanda.
Of all the things I have been
the
defensive
one thing
about.
You put your foot down on is just don't tell me that a vegan meatball can happen.
Yes. And our final question. If you could choose one person, no choices here, to be the person that had to pick up all the dead birds under wind turbines for the rest of their life, that's what they were damned to do, who would you choose?
Well, Donald Trump. Because he's so concerned with them.
Right. He would lend. He would volunteer.
He was very worried. He was extremely worried about it throughout his presidency. And so I think it's only right.
Yeah. I mean, is there, does this happen? How often does this really happen?
Not
does
that, I mean, often? So it does happen. But the thing is that birds, unfortunately, do die from flying into shit all the time. It's like the main way that they die. And it is almost entirely from buildings. So like flying into glass. So that happens.
They fly into our house, all the windows all the time here.
Yeah. Anything that has any height to it in the world, birds, unfortunately, are going to fly into. They should maybe work on that themselves. I don't know.
Bird helmets.
That's on birds.
Bird owners, don't write it. Yeah. But yeah, they definitely do die, but it's like not enough to not use wind turbines. Brian, you agree? Trump? I think like a Harvey Weinstein or something.
Yeah, I just don't feel like you'd be very good at it. That's the thing. Like, do we want someone who's effective at picking up the dead birds, or do we want someone who deserves
purely
to pick,
want
to like,
cause misery?
Oh yeah, true. Is this a purely punitive job, or do you actually need the birds to be picked up?
Yeah. So then, yes, Donald. I would give it to the Donald.
Me too. All around. We'll let him know that that's his new job.
Your job is picking up all the different.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. That is our show. Don't forget to check out all the new merch at betches.co/supshop. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.